is the Lord. If we could all stand at this time. This evening we'll be taking up a special offering for Brother Micah, Sister Jasmine. It's such an honor to have them here on this weekend. He was in Kyle's wedding. They grew up together. It's great to have them. He's been gone 10 years. Can you believe that? 10 years since he's gone. He's kind of grown up, expanded just a little bit. But he's gotten married, and his beautiful wife, Jasmine, they've got a baby on the way. So what happens when you start preaching, Micah? You just kind of expand a little bit. You know that. That's part of it. Oh, it's such an honor to have Micah Johnson here. He's currently in Stockton, California, working there with Pastor Nathaniel Haney. Him and his wife, they're over there. Their couples, their hyphen age group. I believe you have between 250 to 300 couples that you work with, somewhere around there. So he has quite a heavy workload. He also works in the school. They have their Bible college there. It's a real honor to have Micah here today. It's great to see you again, brother. God bless you. Come and preach to us.
God bless you. And praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Man, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Wonder if some people are happy to go to church sometimes, you know? It's all right. It's all right to be happy to go to church. Man, there's no place I would rather be than in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God. David said, that's where I'm going to dwell the rest of my life, in the temple of the Lord. How many just want to dwell in the presence of God? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, it feels good in the house today. I'm not going to make you stand all service. Exodus chapter 13, while you are standing, it is a pleasure to be here. I don't think I need to even say that. I'm home. My wife said, asked me this morning or last night, are you getting nervous? And of course, I always get nervous. You know, I've been nervous preaching ever since I preached my first sermon when I was 12 in a youth week. You know, we were back over in that sanctuary a long time ago. Some of you probably remember that. I think, yeah. Oh, yeah. Someone said, it was so bad that can't forget. But yeah, I've always been nervous. But you know, preaching here, you realize that you're home, you know, and people will never stop loving you. My mother's on the front row, so if there's no one else that thinks I do good today, she will, that's for sure. No matter what happens, it's good to have my mother here, my family, all with us today. My wife, so glad she's with us today. And so my wife, we're 20 weeks along, and they tell me that the ears and all the hearing stuff is there already. So this is going to be the second message the baby will hear me preach. So I'm pretty excited about that. Amen. Amen. Give honor to my pastor, Pastor John Grant. Everywhere I go, I brag about Pastor Grant. Love him to death and appreciate his ministry, his influence in my life. Man, you don't have to look very far to see his influence in my life. You really don't. I love Pastor Grant and Pastor Roy and the whole staff here. Exodus 13. I told you I wasn't going to keep you standing too long, and I already have, so let's go ahead and read. Exodus 13, verses 20 and 22. And the Bible says, so they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day, everyone say by day, and night, everyone say night. And he did not, everybody say not, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God's presence was constantly, always with his people. God's Spirit, that's what you have to see here, was constantly before them. During the day when everything was light out and they could see where they were going, but also at night when they were afraid and didn't know what was going on, God's Spirit was constantly before them. Someone say amen. Oh, that makes me excited because I know that means that God is with us even right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is with us. Turn to someone else and preach it. Get your preacher voice in there and say, God is with us. Come on. I'm saying it doesn't matter what you're going through. Hey, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter how bad things are getting. Come on. God is with us. Oh, my. I wonder if someone can get a little bit of faith in the house today and say, God is with us. God is on our side. God is fighting for us. God is with you. Praise God. Someone just shouted, God is with us. Oh, that's a word of faith for somebody. You thought the Lord gave up on you. Thought the Lord forgot about you. But he said he never took his presence from before his people. Oh, praise God. I've started preaching. Go ahead and be seated in Jesus' name. Praise God. I believe the Lord is here. He's doing something among us. Man, I can feel his presence even right now. Heavenly Father, bless our time together. Bless your word. Bless our ears to hear, our hearts to understand and comprehend, our minds to accept the concept that you are always before us. Pray, Lord, that you would mend us, make us, mold us, shape us into what you want us to be today. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And everyone said amen. Amen, amen, amen. The presence of God was constantly before the children of Israel. The scripture we read was out of the book of Exodus. And in this story, Exodus stands for the exodus of Egypt, the exiting, the going out of captivity and bondage for the children of Israel. And if you read the narrative in this story, this is where the law was formed. You remember the story of Moses on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments coming down and all this. This is the context. And in this story, the Bible says that as God led his people out of Egypt, he gave them his Spirit, his presence. And it was in a physical, visible form. By day, it was a cloud. By night, it was a fire, a pillar, a ball, a massive entity of a fire or a cloud. And it represented the Spirit of God leading the people of Israel. And this representative, this image, this symbol for the Israelites then is our Spirit of God today. Someone say amen. You see, as believers, as Christians, as one God, apostolic Christians, we believe that we are led by the Spirit of God. Well, some of us do. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. If you have that, you can turn with me. The Bible says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are not will be one day, not sometimes on Sunday and Wednesday, but not Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, right? No, these individuals are the sons of God. Friend, can I tell you today that as a Christian, as a believer, as someone that is a Christ follower, we follow after the Spirit of God. He governs everything that we do. He shows us where to go. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. What's the helper? It was the Holy Ghost living inside of us, telling us where to go, telling us what to do, telling us how to live. The Spirit does that. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit encourages us when we're down, when we're discouraged, when we're losing our faith, when we're frustrated with the world, when we're feeling down and out. It's the Spirit of God that can strengthen you, that can give you strength and give you boldness and give you the courage to move on. That is what we believe. If you believe it, would you say amen? The Spirit is what governs us. The first point I want to make today. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to give you the message, the title to this message. I realize sometimes if you don't give a title, people kind of lose their mind. They don't really know where to go, you know. They get lost through the... So I'm going to give you the title at the end of this message. I think that it's important to note that. So hang on. Stay with me. Don't go too far afield. I'm going to give it to you later on because I think it's important here to first understand what we're talking about. And the first thing I want to bring out to you is this. The Spirit is what leads the people of God. The Spirit is how we lead a holy lifestyle. Did you know that if you do not have the Holy Spirit in your life, you cannot please God? Does that mean I have to have the Holy Ghost to be a good person? That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I said you cannot please God. Can you be a good person? Can you give to the poor? Can you help out at the homeless shelter? Can you do good things? Sure, but that's not what pleases God. I just felt the swords of theology cross right there, right? See, sometimes our culture tries to tell us that life is just about being a good person, having a good spirit, passing goodness on to others. Hey, social justice is a part of it. Don't get me wrong, but that's not what's going to put you in heaven. Hey, I'm not trying to please the world. I'm trying to please Him. See, you got to get off of this idea that our job in the world is supposed to make everyone else happy. No, my first priority is to make Him happy. He said the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Hey, if you love your neighbor, that's awesome. It's a part of the commandment, but that is the second commandment. Brother, are you trying to say that we're not to love our neighbor? No. Hear what I'm saying. You have to put it in its proper order. The priority in your life is to please Him and Him alone. There's no one else that sits on that throne but God. He is the one that matters. He is the one we're trying to serve. And then watch what happens when you please God the way that you're supposed to please God. Then you're going to love everyone else like yourself. Then you can fulfill the second commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. But we get it all mixed up. We think, oh, it's just about pleasing everyone else. It's about living a good life and give money to the poor, you know, volunteer, which are all good things. But if we miss on the first thing, we have completely missed it. Our goal in life is to indeed please God. We are led by the Spirit of God. So someone can be a good person, but that doesn't make them saved. It doesn't mean that they are led by the Spirit. The only way that you can please God is first believe that He is God. Hebrews chapter 11:6. I know I got a lot of scriptures today. You know, I'm sorry. It's just, as Pastor Grant says, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, you know. So I just believe the Bible should govern us as well. I mean, the Bible's the Word. The Bible is it. He is life. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Not highly unlikely. Not low probability. Not very, very difficult. Impossible. Impossible to please God. Can I tell you today? That if you are without the Holy Spirit in your life, there is no way for you to please the Lord. You need the Spirit of God living inside of you. You need the Spirit of God resonating inside of you, taking up a residence in your heart and in your mind. Friend, there's a lot of young preachers like myself that are trying to do away with the Holy Ghost, saying it's not essential, saying it's not important. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, you will not make it to heaven without the Holy Ghost. You need it in your life. You need to speak it every day. You need to speak in tongues in the morning, speak in tongues in the afternoon, speak in tongues at night. Why? Because I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. How could he say that unless he was confident that he spoke in tongues every single day? Oh, this is a side note. It's not even a part of my message, but we need to speak in tongues every single day. Is that all right? Can I say that? Every single day. I speak in tongues when I'm getting ready for church, when I'm getting ready for work. I speak in tongues going to work. I speak in tongues while I'm at work. I speak in tongues when I go home. Why? Because I want to be sure the Holy Ghost is living inside of me, moving, breathing, working, leading me. Oh, I've met so many people. They say, you know, I think I got the Holy Ghost. I think I spoke with tongues that one time about a few years ago at that one service. I think I got it. I think I'm good. And friend, you might have spoken in tongues, but I don't know about you, but I want to be sure. I'm going to make sure I'm speaking in tongues every single day. Why? Because when I speak in tongues, the Bible says I'm speaking ministries into the Spirit, and the Lord is praying for me. So literally, the Spirit of God is praying for me. And when I speak in tongues, I'm speaking a heavenly language. What is that? It's a community. It's a communication between you and God. And what happens with communication is you get closer to God. And when you get closer to God, God will get closer to you. Do you believe that? But James said, if you draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto you. Friend, if you want to get closer to God, you need to pray more. You need to talk to him more. You need to communicate. I don't know if you're really believing what I'm saying. Think about it. My wife's here. If you never talked to your wife, you never talked, and some of you might not. I don't know. Let me be careful here. But all the married people say amen. Okay. You know as well as I do and everyone else that's married that if you go a whole day without talking to your spouse, it is not a good thing. All the women are like, yeah. Not in their head. Saw some elbows going there for a moment. Chill out. So if one day's not good, 2 days is definitely not good. If 2 days isn't good, a week is definitely not good. You go a week without talking to your spouse, you're probably not married. You might need a check. They're probably gone. Well, then why in the world would we think that it's okay for us to go 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, a whole week without ever talking to the Lord? The same thing that happens in the natural, a separation, is going to happen in the spiritual. There will be a separating. There will be a divorce. There will be a passing by. There will be an exodus of God in your life. You can't make it without prayer. Hear me. You can't make it without prayer. We will not survive. I cannot make it without the Word of God speaking to me every single day. Can't make it without prayer. Oh, man. There were so many times I'd go into the pastor's office, Pastor Grant, and I would tell him, he's told this story from the pulpit, Pastor, I don't know why my life is just, things are going bad. And the first thing he'd ask me, he said, well, Micah, are you praying? Oh, no, it can't be that. It has to be something else, you know. It's a spiritual attack. That's what it is. It's a spiritual attack. The devil's out to get me. It's a spiritual attack. Well, it's probably true it's a spiritual attack, but you're getting weaker by not praying. The prayer is what brings you closer to fellowship with God. Prayer is your armor. Prayer is what strengthens you. Prayer is what cultivates the relationship of the Spirit of God living inside of you. But without the Holy Spirit living in your life, without that constant communication, you cannot please God. If you are in this place today and you don't have the Holy Ghost, I have good news for you. That was the bad news. You can't God without the Holy Ghost. But hey, I got some good news for you that you don't have to leave without getting the Holy Ghost. You don't have to stay the same way that you are. You can make the change. See, my life's messed up. I can't keep my life together. Everything just keeps, my wife left me again. I mean, everything's falling apart. Everything. Hey, I got news for you. You don't have to stay that way. Your life may be messed up. The church is not there to lie to people and tell them, oh, no, you're doing good. Everything's right. No, our job is to tell them the real deal. The real deal is your life is messed up. You're going down the wrong path. My job is not to tell you that you're doing good and that everything is just keep on doing it well. Just keep on going the way you're going. No, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're doing it wrong. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to be saved. He's not a way. He's not a one of the ways. He's not a part of this thing. He's not just one good idea or a good. No, this is the only way to live. This is it. It's the Word of God. Oh, man, that sounds intolerant. I didn't say it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father unless it's by me. He said, there's a way that you can't go around, you can't go over, you can't go under, but you must come in at the door. See, that's not a very popular message in this tolerant, intolerant generation. This generation that preaches tolerance, you know. Tolerance. That word is a buzzword today. Got to be careful sometimes when you say it, you know. People get mad at you. But the fact of the matter is, we don't even understand tolerance. We don't understand tolerance. You know, you preach against something, they say you're intolerant. You preach against homosexuality, they say you're intolerant. That's what they say, you know. But did you know that we got it all mixed up? Tolerance was never supposed to be about views, what people believe. Tolerance is about the people. We tolerate everybody, but we don't tolerate everything. See, Jesus says, come. Everyone that are burdened, heavy laden, I will give you rest. But he said, when you come, unless you repent, you will likewise die in your sins. You see, that's tolerance. We love everybody, but we don't love everything. We love the sinner, but we still hate the sin. That's tolerance. But see, they got it all mixed up. When you get it confused, when your theology is off, you start making excuses for your lifestyle. You start to justify your actions. Start to justify the way that you live. Start to justify it. All of a sudden, you get a group of people living around you doing and saying the same thing. And you tune out the Spirit of God that is trying to push you, trying to speak to you, trying to tell you the direction you need to go. I know I'm moving in the Spirit right now. I know I'm talking to some people. I know some of you are at this crossroads that you hear culture and your friends and everyone else saying one thing, but then you hear the preacher and the Word of God saying the other. You hear your pastors telling you, hey, you're doing it wrong. In order to please God, in order to please God, we must be led by the Spirit. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 5 says, the righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. You will know if you're right with God based on the choices and the decisions that you make every single day. You will know if you're right with God. How you choose, how you live will determine your status in the kingdom. Look ahead of you. See what is forcing the decisions of your life. See how you're making your decisions. See who is leading you. What am I being led by? Culture? The news? I have news for you right here. This is news right here. Culture is going in the wrong direction. I said, culture is going in the wrong direction. I might just be more sensitive. But you guys live in Madison. You know what's going on. You're not blind. I was sitting there talking with my family, and we were talking about California. It is so ridiculous what's going on in California. The level of sin that is being pushed through, that's being forced upon, that's being told as normal. And if you don't comply, that's the word, compliance. If you don't comply, then you are a bigot. You are intolerant. Friend, we're living in a generation where you're not going to be able to read the whole Bible as a full counsel of God and preach over a pulpit. We're in that generation. Our generation, this generation, we're going to be in a place very, very soon where when we read this whole thing and preach it out and say what thus saith the word of the Lord, it's going to be labeled as hate speech. Oh, I just feel the Holy Ghost. I just have to say this right now. I feel sometimes my generation, some of the young ministers of my generation, were blind to some of this stuff. Our ears are deaf to what's going on. This world is not getting progressively better. It's getting worse every single day. And the more worse, the worse it gets, the more people we need to stand up and say, I am going to live by the word of the Lord. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Even if I'm the only one holding to this truth, even if I'm the only one holding to this word, it's still right. Friend, because there's only one that I'm trying to please. There's only one that I'm trying to make happy, and his name is Jesus. Joshua said, as you can worship the gods of the Amorites and the gods on the other side of the flood, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though none go with me, let this world go where they're going to go. Let them do what they're going to do. But I'm going to follow after the Lord. I'm telling you, the world is going in the wrong direction. We need some people that are led by the Spirit, that the Spirit is leading them, not culture, not the news, not what Hollywood says. Oh, Jesus. I don't want to be led by MTV, by Esquire, by all these different stuff. They tell you how they want to tell you how to walk, how to talk, how to dress. They want to tell you all this stuff. I'm not led by those people. I don't want to be led by those people. I see Sister Leonard sit back there. It's good to see you. Music was awesome today. I don't want our music, but I don't want to hear music that the world produces. I don't want it in the church. I don't want it in my life. I don't want to be playing it in my stereo. I don't want the preachers that they're giving us that just talk about all this love, but they never talk about the word. Never talk about the judgment of God and holiness and righteousness. Go to some churches. Never once is a change of lifestyle even brought up. Had some friends of mine that they left the church and they went down to some local church there, a charismatic church. They said, oh, the music was good. They said, you know, the preacher was even good, but something was missing. I can tell you what was missing. It was the word of God, the full counsel of God. You ever have someone lie to you, but they lie to you in a way that they're just omitting just one or two things? And you hear it and it sounds right, but it just feels wrong. I'm here to tell you that's where the world's at. There's people in the world that are hungry. They said, you know what? All this stuff, it sounds right, but man, there's just something missing. I'll tell you what's missing. It's not the full truth and nothing but the truth. There's something missing in their word. There's something they're leaving out. There's something they're omitting. It's the presence of God. I don't want to be a part of a church that just preaches half of the truth. I want the part of the church that preaches the full truth. I want to know what the entire word of God says. I want the Acts 2:38. Message. I want to know that I must still be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. I want the full truth. Don't give part of the truth. Give me the whole thing. We need a generation that's willing to reject the world and follow the Spirit. Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. And he said, the Lord speaking, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I'm reading out of the New King James. I just looked up. I noticed that the King James is posted. That's okay if you follow along. Then he said to him, Moses saying to the Lord, if your presence, oh, this is so powerful, does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? Friend, this is my heart right here. God, if you're not going with me, I have no interest in going at all. God, if you are not with me, then nothing else matters. I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel this way in my life, that there's nothing in this world that's attractive enough, looking good enough for me to follow after if I know that God isn't right by my side. There's nothing that I want in this world that can take the place of the presence of God. Lord, only if you go with us, only if you're right by my side, then the question is for us today, where or what are you doing? Where are you going that you are comfortable going and comfortable doing without the Lord? Friend, nothing in this world, no place, no action am I comfortable doing without God right by my side. I'm not comfortable going to the mall. I don't even want to go to Walmart unless I know God is with me. I don't want to wake up in the morning if God isn't with me. Brother Grant, I've made up in my mind, as David said, I want to dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. I don't want to go anywhere in this world, do anything without the presence of the Lord. Why? Because there is nothing else to me but then other than dwelling in his presence. There is nothing more important. You read through Psalm 51. This isn't in my notes, but you read through Psalm 51 and David, he said all these prayers. He said all these laments. He would pray for forgiveness over and over again. And one of the things that he said over and over again, he said this, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The worst punishment that we could ever have is God withdrawing his presence from us. We have to understand what we have. The presence of God. Oh, there's fullness of joy. There's eternal life. He said, you can do whatever you want. Take my life. Destroy me. Kill me. But whatever you do to me, don't let your presence depart from me. Friend, I feel the same way today. I can pretty much handle anything the world has to offer. But one thing I can't live without, one thing that scares me to death, is spending eternity without my God. Jesus. You probably heard me say it before, as many preachers have. But the worst thing about hell, is it going to be the fire? It's not going to be the brimstone. It's not going to be the eternal punishment. It's not going to be the torture. It's not necessarily going to be anything physical that can happen. That's not going to be the worst part about hell. The worst part about hell is that when a person goes there, when a person enters in, they are forever separated, divided from God Himself. The presence of the Lord forever taken away from them. No more hope, no more joy, all pain, no way out. It's an abyss. It's a separation forever from the presence of God. Oh, but I'm here today not talking about hell and not talking about the separation of the presence of God, but I'm talking about today the greatest thing about heaven. That's my title today. The greatest thing about heaven. And do you know what the greatest thing about heaven is? We could think about it. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. I've told people before, heaven's going to be beyond what you could even imagine. I think when we get there, it's going to be even better than what we thought. But the greatest thing about heaven, it's not the golden streets that we're going to walk on. Not the gates of pearl that are going to be standing all around. Not all the brothers and sisters in the Lord that we're going to see, even though that's going to be wonderful. Not even the old saints of old from the Old Testament that are going to be there that we can dine with and talk to, even though that's going to be incredible. It's not even going to be the angels fluttering around and see them in their majesty and glory. But the greatest thing about heaven is that we'll be able to spend the rest of eternity with our Lord. The greatest thing about heaven is that you can feel His presence every single day, that you can hear His voice, that you can see Him. If you believe that, would you just lift your hands, call out to the Lord and thank Him. Jesus, the greatest thing about heaven is that we'll never have to leave His presence. The greatest thing about heaven is that He's always going to be there with us. The greatest thing about heaven is that there's no more suffering, no more pain. Why? Because we are forever with the Lord. Oh, Hatayaralamohoshaya. If the music comes, I want to say this last thing right here. That's going to be the greatest thing about heaven. But let me tell you right now. Let me tell you what we have, and I don't want you to get distracted. I want you to hear what I'm saying right now. That's in the future. That's what we have to look forward to. Hey, and by the way, if you don't like it, you don't have to go. I said, you don't have to go. God's not going to force you to be there. Someone said, you're going to spend eternity with whatever God you want to be with. Someone said, wait a minute, there's only one God. Yes, there's only one God that's going to be in heaven. He said, John said, I saw the throne and there was one seated on that throne. But hey, if you don't want to go, no one's going to force you to be there. You'll spend eternity with whatever God you want to spend eternity with. But there's only one going to be in heaven. That's the beautiful thing. It's the greatest thing about heaven. We always talk about, you know, as kids, you know, we try to illustrate heaven and talk about the gates of pearl and the mansions and the streets of gold. But all that, all of it, pales in comparison. You know what? You can have the streets of gold. You can have the mansions. You can have the gates of pearl. Because that is not what makes heaven. Hear me. It's not what makes heaven.
The gold is just gold. The pearls are just pearls. That's not what makes it. What makes heaven heaven is that it is the city where the Lamb is the light. It's the city where God Himself embodies and dwells. That's what's going to make heaven heaven. But here it is right here, right now. Listen to me a few more moments. That's the greatest thing about heaven. But you know something else that's so awesome? Something else that's so awesome is this. When you get into the presence of God, when we get there, Pastor, when we get there, I think what's going to end up happening is we're going to take in all the gold and all the pearls and the mansions. It's going to be awesome and all that. But you know what? When I get there, I don't think it's all going to be too crazy. Because I think there's going to be one thing that I'm going to recognize. Everything else is going to probably just overwhelm us. But you know what? There's one thing I'm going to recognize. I'm going to feel the Spirit of God fall on me. And I'm going to say, you know what? I recognize this. I know what this is. I know what it feels like. It's the Spirit of God. That's the one thing that's going to stand out. It's the one thing I'm going to recognize. I'm going to say, I know exactly where I am. I know exactly now what to do. I know what I'm supposed to do right now. I'm supposed to worship. So watch what happens right now. Watch what happens right now. It's the presence of God that's going to embody heaven. So that means when you worship God down here, you are experiencing just a little bit of heaven on earth. When you lift your hands and lift your voice, and you begin to feel the brush of angels' wings. You begin to feel the presence of God falling in your mind and falling on your heart. What are you feeling? What are you feeling? You are feeling the heaven coming to earth. You are feeling a part of heaven on earth. If you want to feel a little bit of heaven today, why don't you go ahead and lift your hands, lift your voice, lift your praise. Come on, the heaven wants to come down right now. Heaven wants to touch down right now. Come on, lift your voice all over this house. Lift your voice, lift your hands. Call out to the Lord. The presence of God is here right now. If you want to come down to the altar, I'm going to ask that. Give me a second here. The Spirit's here, but we're not going to kill anything. If you need the Holy Ghost right now, I want you to, you need the Holy Ghost. God can give you the Holy Ghost. I'd like you to come right to this side, to your right here. If you need healing in your body, you need God to touch your mind, I want you to come to the left side right here. And if you just want the Spirit of God to fall in your life, you want to feel heaven touching your life right now, I want you to come down the center aisle right here. I want you to come. And when you get down here, lift your hands, lift your voice, call out to the Lord. Let's expect God to do it right now. Come on now, would you turn to your neighbor, take someone by the hand and say, come on, would you come down to the altar with me? Would you do that right now? Invite someone down to the altar right now. Oh, hallelujah. The presence of Almighty God is here.